I'd like to ask you a question to begin the lecture. And it's the same question I asked recently, about 2 or 3 months ago, when I was asked to teach a Hindu philosophy class. A good friend of mine is a professor. Some of you may know him, Professor Edwin Bryan. Every year he asks me to teach his classes for a day. So I just speak on whatever they're studying, and he gives me the material. So they were studying one of the great Vaishnav acharyas or teachers. His name is Ramanuja Acharya. And he gave me the chapter to read. And the chapter was Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means anxiety. And Vai means without anxiety. It's the place without anxiety. It is the spiritual world. And there's an elaborate description in that chapter of Vishnu, the Supreme Lord who's pervading everything, and his beauty and his associates and what the spiritual world looks like. So this is the question I ask them. If you were God, if you had all powers and could make a spiritual world a perfect place, what would it be like? Would there be people in that place?
Yes.
It depends on your experience in this world. I once did this festival where you go around Govardhan Hill. We made a little hill out of food. And I told people that if you go around the hill, Krishna will fulfill all your desires. You can get whatever you want. So one young man from one of the gangs here in New York who came to the festival, a little bit angry, looked at me and said, "It didn't work." I said, "What did you..." I said, "Why?" He said, "Everyone's still here."
Oh my God.
So, generally I think that place would have people. Would the place have love?
Yes.
Would it have loving exchanges? Would it have beauty? Would there be flowers there? When I was in college, and I first got this book called Krishna Book. It's the stories and pastimes of Krishna. And at the time in college, I was studying philosophy. And I heard the definition of God. It said, that being of which no greater can be conceived. So I began to read this Krishna book, where it gives a description of this personality who is perfect in loving exchanges, but at the same time is pervading everywhere, has all powers, but without the defect of impersonality. One time I was giving a lecture on Bhagavad Gita in Vrindavan. We used to have a school, take students through. And one Sanskrit professor came into class. Actually, he teaches here now at Rutgers and gives lectures Satyanarayan Baba, also a good friend of mine from Vrindavan. And he listened. I was explaining the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Mayam tatam idam sarvam jagara vyakta murtya. Krishna said, by my energy I pervade everything. But I am not in them. So I began to describe what this means. These verses describe, what is that absolute reality? Everywhere. Advayam gyan, consciousness, which is inclusive of everything. But without the defect of impersonality. And the next verse is, you know, but he's not burdened. He's everywhere without being burdened. Then it says he's everywhere without being responsible, like a judge. He makes decisions, but karma doesn't come. So I'm going to speak a little bit today, we don't have that much time, on one of the Leelas or pastimes of Krishna. And you have to understand that this conception, everyone here, I think to some degree or another, is a spiritual practitioner, generally speaking. Maybe a few are not, they're just curious, friend brought them. So what is the goal? What is the goal of that? The goal in the path of bhakti is called rasa. And what rasa means, it's very interesting. Rasa means an aesthetic experience. An overwhelming experience. It's bhakti rasa. The overwhelming experience of love of God. Completely consumed. Rasa can be karuna ras, tragedy, maya ras, fear, madhurya ras, Roman. They're over-consuming. So in our tradition, it's very interesting, when our teachers studied the stories of Krishna, they saw that these stories were perfectly composed according to classic poetics, which communicates a rasa, an experience, perfectly. Poetics, drama, poetry, music. It's to take an experience in the world, an intense experience, and compose it in such a way that when it is performed, you feel that same thing. So what they discovered is that this Bhagavatam, the stories of Krishna, are perfect, aesthetically composed, but they're a reflection not of this world, but of a spiritual realm where the experience is an overwhelming sense, a rasa, bhakti rasa, of love of Godhead. The Upanishad says, rasa vai saha, that reality is this experience. It has shaktiman, it has the possessor of all power, all energy. And Shakti, it's energy. And what is the nature of energy? What is your potency? You have a Jnana Shakti. You have a little knowledge. You have a Bala Shakti. You have a little strength. You have a Kriya Shakti. You do things. A sensual Shakti. What is the nature of Shakti or energy? It serves its source. Therefore, in our tradition, what real Shakti means is Ladini Shakti. It's a pleasure potency. Why? Because the nature of energy is to please. So the essence of all Shakti is love. And the ultimate reality is this intense exchange of rasa or love, which we are meant to participate in when we become free of ego. When we are receptive, when we let go. What do we let go of? Our resistance to serve that which we are part of. just like my body and as a hand. The hand is meant to serve the body. It has to let go of its resistance to do so. That's what we're letting go of. There are principles of truth. There are dictations of truth. There's a sense of an ultimate reality which we are meant to participate in. And we have to let go of our... And what happens when you let go? You serve. And what happens? Energy, nourishment, happiness comes. That is called love. Love means to let go. Now I'll explain a little bit of this story and show you how there's love. Oh, Krishna, he's so beautiful. He's the perfect object of love. Paharpidam natavara vabhu karnio karni karnam. He has a peacock feather. Paharpidam natavara, and he is the most excellent dancer. Karnio karni karnam. And he likes these blue or yellow tulips, and he puts them in one ear, or he puts it in the other ear. Vibrad vishad kanika kapisa. And he has a golden dhoti, silk. Vajyanti chamala. And he has beautiful flowers that hang down to his knees. But that beauty is only a reflection of his heart. Just like we sometimes see very beautiful people. And the result, the karmic result of the beauty can be one or two things. They earn the right to enjoy the world and attract other people for sensual activities. That's a karma. Or sometimes you see a beautiful person who's beautiful because somehow or other they have the intense desire to please others. And it's different, right? There's a piety and there's a bali. Different. So Krishna has love. In our conception, the absolute reality, the greatest thing is not to have the highest position, but it's to have the most love. So when we talk about the divine, we're not just talking about the powers. We're talking about the heart and the devotion and the love. So Krishna has ultimate love and he's the object of love. And he had just killed a huge python demon. And then after that, with his friends who were in the mouth of the demon and were saved by Krishna. Do you know how much your love is invoked when you are saved from death? One time the cowherd boys had drunk after the Krishna extinguished the fire at forest fire. They drunk from this poisonous river. They didn't know it was, and they died. And then Krishna awoken them with his loving glance of mercy. And they woke up and they saw his smiling face and they saw his mercy upon them. And better than that, they saw their friends who were sharing the same experience. That's rasa. When you have the most intense experience, but you can share it together, just like Ananda Kirtan. So much devotion is expressed in his words. That we were all feeling the same thing. That's real oneness. We heard him as if we had a single pair of ears. Any musician, any person who's speaking, they know they have not completely succeeded until their audience becomes one mind. And it's so uplifting. Especially with what you're sharing together is love. So Krishna, after that, he's taking his friends in the forest, and then he's going to look for a good place to take a picnic, because they were diverted. Swakeli Sampat. And he picked a place that had soft white sands, and the birds were echoing in the trees, and there was a beautiful clear river, and the lotus flowers is a symbol of transcendence. Because when you see a real fresh lotus flower, it looks like it is not of this world. And they sat down to take a picnic. Now, how they took this picnic is very significant. They sat in circles around Krishna. And Krishna was sitting in the middle. And everyone felt that Krishna was looking at them. And they were very happy. And my teacher commented on this. Actually, I thought I'd read it. It's very interesting. Well, this is the verse. We have the patience, we'll listen to the verse. Like the whirl of a lotus flower, surrounded by its petals and leaves, Krishna sat in the center, encircled by the lines of his friends, who all looked very beautiful. Every one of them was trying to look forward toward Krishna, thinking that Krishna might look toward him. In this way, they all enjoyed the lunch in the forest. This is the commentary. The present Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to keep Krishna in the center. For if this is done, all activities will automatically become beautiful and blissful. Just like this is the third day of the festival. And it's centered on the deities. It's centered on Radha and Krishna. And I was particularly enjoying, I've been to many, many festivals, and every single person participating was in the mood of service. They were all focused. It's just how blissful the body is when all the parts are working towards the whole. And it's blissful. Why? Because when you're in the center, ego, when you look at things as objects for yourself, beyond your needs, love can't flow. Love doesn't flow in this consciousness. When you look at everything, and you look at the world according to your desires. Love flows from the position of seeing yourself as an object for the pleasure of God and others. Spiritual life is the whole process of moving from that center. Whatever your path is, it has to begin here. What is the first principle? The first yama, even yoga, the first thing you do is you have to control yourself. The whole thing's controlling the mind, but the first thing is controlling yourself in relationship to others. And what's the first thing? Ahimsa. nonviolence. You can't progress in spiritual life. You can't elevate your heart in selfless and love if you have that self-centered conception. So when you see, and this is the purpose of these festivals, there's a center beyond ourselves. And what ruins anything? What ruins a family? What ruins a community? When someone puts themselves in the center. It's a disturbance. And love doesn't flow. Just like the example of throwing pebbles in a pond. If there's a center, then all the circles are harmonious. If there's off-center, there's a lot of conflict. So it's so beautiful. Krishna's in the center. And what is he doing? He's having a picnic with his friends. And he's joking with his friends. And they're making different types of plates. And they're eating. What are they eating? They're eating love. The friends are sharing with Krishna their picnic baskets. And who cooked the picnic baskets? In the morning, all the mothers of Vrindavan are cooking for Krishna with love. Because they know when their sons take the picnic basket, that Krishna will be eating it. So it's all rasa. This is maternal affection. It has a mood. There's different types of love. And if there is a supreme enjoyer, he must enjoy love, and he must enjoy all the flavors of love. Each love has a different flavor. Motherly love is so wonderful. And if you get love from a mother, what will the love be? It'll come like this. It's mercy. It's coming down. The mother will feel, I am your maintainer. Without me, you will die. That's the motherly love. It's a new graha. And there's another love, which is respect for someone who maintains you. You are my maintainer. That's called dasyaras, servitude. And then there's friendship, saman bhagavatam. Equals, joking. So Krishna's enjoying the food, the friendship, and he's tasting the food that the mother's cooked. And this is rasa. This is an overwhelming experience of pure love churning. And actually, when you hear these pastimes, that same feeling comes to your heart. I remember one time I was taking to India some new people, and they were straight edge musicians. I was taking to India, and I went to this one place, Jai Sangira, where they were having the Krishna Leela musicals. If you go to Vrindavan at this time of the year, Julan, you'll see the most beautiful musical performances of Krishna. And we saw all these saintly Vaishnav ascetic yogis with their malas sitting there. And all these blissful saintly ladies in their white saris, people who are completely renounced, watching the exchanges of perfect love, which has to have five appropriate emotional experiences. There must be the proper people in love, like friendship, equals. There must be the proper setting for love. Krishna's with his friends. They're enjoying friendship, the white sands, the tree, the birds singing, the fresh, cool water, Swakeli, Sampat, all the assets for Krishna's play. A child does not act for pleasure. A child out of pleasure acts. In the spiritual world, the rasa, the enjoyment, the pleasure of love becomes greater than the Supreme Person. How? When Krishna is dancing with the gopis, this is kind of esoteric, and there's music, beautiful music, and there's singing that is so beautiful. Krishna plays his flute. Very high. Wow. And then Radharani sings. Higher. Even more beautiful. And everyone goes, sadhu, sadhu, which means good. And there's music. And there's dancing. And the love is churning to such a high degree that when Krishna sees all the loves of the devotees, he becomes intoxicated with that love. How does it become greater? Because normally we act for pleasure. And therefore, we are the karanam, we are the cause of the pleasure. When Krishna is with his devotees and becomes intoxicated with love, then out of pleasure, he acts. The pleasure becomes the karanam, like someone who is drunk. He's controlled by his pleasure. Krishna is controlled by the pleasure. So Krishna is sitting there with his friends, and it's such a beautiful scene, exchanging this love, which they are relishing to the highest degree. And in between Krishna's hands, he picks up one beautiful preparation that has yogurt, rice, and fruit. And it's in his hands like this, kind of maybe dripping down the side a little bit. Sometimes when Krishna's father, when he kills all these great demons, people start saying, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Your son is God. And Nanda Maharaj laughs, God? The Supreme Controller? The Supreme Absolute Truth? Krishna's a butter thief. He doesn't tell truth. He can't control his senses. He's stealing everywhere. Krishna. So he's sitting there, dripping. It's kind of like when I first came to India and I tried to eat my Prabhupada, my guru, he would just take a thing and like pop it in his mouth so nicely. And I was trying that, and that yellow turmeric down the side. What can I do? Anyway, to make a long story short, because honestly speaking, this particular story, I generally lecture on it for a month, every day. That's true. I just did this in Mayapur, Alexandria was there. So, but we'll make it short. So what happens is, in this story, to make it real short, he's just with his friends and the food, and then Lord Brahma, who is the engineer of the universe, he saw Krishna kill the demon. Now he sees him equal with his friends. And then he scratches his head, and he says some significant words. He said, Yajnabhuk, Balakeli. Yajnabhuk means he's the one who is eating the offerings of sacrifice. The eating of all the sacrifices that are made. How powerful is that? Yug Yabu. Swaha, swaha, swaha. Yug Yabu. He's eating all the sacrifices. Bala Keli, that person is just with the yogurt and the fruit in his hands, joking with his friends equally. Bala Keli, he's playing with his boys. What? Make a long, long story short, because there's so many beautiful things that happen in this story. All with this Baba. All with this intense love. And when you hear it and listen to it, you feel it. So what happens is, Brahma says, wait a second. He can't be God. Let me do a trick. So Lord Brahma, what happens is, they're cowherd boys. So all these young boys, they tie the calves to the tree. Krishna says, tie your calves to the tree. Let's have a picnic. Then they look around and where are the calves? They disappeared. They became so fearful. What will my parents think? This is my job. That's the best occupation. Krishna's a Vaishya. It's the mercantile class. And there's four occupations. There's banking, trading, agricultural, and cow protection. And why is cow protection the best? Agriculture, you have to plant the seeds. And trading, you have to collect and make calculations and business. Cow protection, you just take the cows out into the field. That's your job. And you blow your flute. And you sing and you dance. And you know how much they love Krishna? The cowherd boys, when sometimes they're at a distance and it's a forest, and Krishna and the cowherd boys are going through the forest, every time a tree obstructs their vision, the cowherd boys in separation go, Krishna, 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 Krishna. They love him so much. And you know that love, Shanai, the Simha, Vipate, increases every day. Every day is a new experience, a purva, never before seen. So this story is so beautiful, I'm really going to make it short because I only have 10 more minutes. So what happens is, I don't even have 10 more minutes, I'm taking 10 more minutes. Because I gave kirtan and Krishna's reciprocated. And we got to hear the end of the story. It's amazing. So what happens is Krishna says, no, you go here. I control everything, but for the needs of my devotees, I'm going to personally do it because I love my devotees so much. So he goes and looks, where are the calves? Where are the calves? And then he understood, oh, this Lord Brahma took the calves. So what Krishna does is Yogeshwar, the master of all mystic potency, he duplicates all the cowherd boys and calves. Do you know what that is? Think of your partner, think of your closest friend. What would it take to duplicate them the way that you wouldn't know? You'd have to duplicate their whole psychology, all their hang-ups, all their proclivities, all their tastes, all their eccentricities, what they like, their clothing style. So Krishna duplicates all of them in such a way that no one knows about it. Many beautiful things happen. One thing happens that the mothers who used to love their children more than other children, which is very natural, all of a sudden, they start to love all the children equally. Because all the children now are Krishna. And the mothers get their desire fulfilled to serve Krishna. The children comes home and it's Krishna. Who's manifest as he does. He expands from pleasure. Long, long story short. And then what happens... But to relieve your anxiety, I'm teaching here on Tuesday. I'm going to continue this story. Some of the details we didn't have, so feel free. So what happens is, Krishna duplicates, and then Lord Brahma comes back. He came back after one moment, because the demigod time is like a moment is like 6 months or a year here. He comes back after one moment, and then he looks, and what does he see? I took all the cows. I wanted to see the fun, but now they're still here. He sees all the cowherd boys and all the calves, and then he goes back where he is, and then he sees that they're still... He's so confused. See, what happens is, and this is a very good moral, sometimes God displays his opulence, his power to humble us. You see, we're a little glowworm in the dark. And we say, I'm so bright. I'm so, look at me. Flash, flash, flash. And sometimes what Krishna does is take us out into the sun. And then when Krishna takes us out in the sun, wow. That's why in Bhagavad Gita that the bhutis, the powers of the mountains, I'm in the Himalayas. I remember when I first saw the Himalayas. It's unbelievable. So tall and so vast. I stopped the bus. Let's get out. I was looking at the Himalayas. And what was I feeling? I was feeling good. Why? Because you feel good when you feel small. But small in the appropriate way. When you feel small in love, not small in oppression. Felt small in love. There's something greater than me that I am connected to. Feeling, oh. So what happened to Lord Brahma, it's amazing. Then all of a sudden he sees the cowherd boys. And then Krishna manifests his Vishnu form, the forearms with the mace and the chakra and his golden helmet. And it's not just other people, Sarupya Mukti, those that wanted to look like God, but he has the Kastuva gem that only Vishnu has and the Srivatsa special decoration. And then around those forms are the most pious souls doing kirtan. So he sees all the cowherd boys now with the Vishnu form, and around them there are this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
up now. I can see everything to the end. But then he sees all the mystic potencies. He sees all the material power. Then he sees Swabhava, Guna, Karma. He sees all elements around those Vishnu forms. Then the Brahman effulgence. And then all his 11 senses are completely stunned. And then he faints. And then, when he gets up, he's blind. Now, he can't see anything. And he's stunned. And then all of a sudden, his eyes open up. and he's in Vrindavan. Beautiful Vrindavan. And then he looks, and there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, with the fruit, the yogurt, and the rice dripping down his hands. And then he realizes that this is the absolute, the most loved with power. Prabhupada quotes this verse from Brahma Samhita, Advaitam Achyutam Anadam Anantarupam. And what that Achyuta means, infallible. So Prabhupada says a very interesting thing. He says Krishna never falls down from the position of Krishna. It's not that he expands and loses everything. And when Brahma sees this, to that little boy, his four heads and all his crowns hit the ground. Tears start coming from his eyes. He's crying and crying and crying and crying. And he tries to get up, and he falls down, and he tries to get up, and he falls down, and he tries to get up, and he falls down. And then he just looks this way, and he realizes in ecstasy that this is the Supreme Lord, and I'm feeling His mercy, and in this humble position, I can feel love and mercy to the maximum. And I end with one of His 45 prayers. He said, in ecstasy and happiness of this humility and love, he says, just like a screen, you sometimes see those little dust coming through the screen when it's light, they're called hex atoms. So just like so many hex atoms are coming through a screen, through the pores of Vishnu or Krishna are coming unlimited universes, and I'm like one of those little hex atoms. And then he says, who am I? And who is he? And then he pays his obeisances. Go pray, my man.